I too want to thank you for joining us tonight. My sense is that you're here because God is speaking to us. He's trying to help us understand what he's doing in the midst of the seeming chaos and bring you comfort and direction. So I'm going to share with you and then we'll pray. I know the situation with George Floyd is a very, very difficult situation. I know there are a lot of people hurting, both black and white, as well as other races. I can see why people would wonder if this is the new America. It is not. Some people made a fatal error with Mr. Floyd. And I assume they're going to pay a hefty price for the error that they made. In the meantime, there are many people who are deeply affected by this, family, friends, people who have become friends because of the issue, that are hurting very badly right now. I know that as I watched what transpired, the Lord had already spoken to me about his perspective and what he is doing. But as I watched what happened to Mr. Floyd, I probably went through what most of you online went through. I was deeply, deeply affected by it. My hope is that he's with Jesus. It does sound like he was trying to turn his life around. So there is that hope. Praise God. But what God is doing, he is not just doing in respect to this situation with Mr. Floyd. That's only part of it. Part of it stems back to the coronavirus. People can become so comfortable that they forget that their days are numbered. They forget that America is only as strong as the Lord says we are strong. We don't have the ability to rise up above him and to determine our destiny. And that's one of the major things he's trying to tell us right now, is we are vulnerable people. We're human beings. We are not gods. So although he has made America strong, America is not invincible. Perhaps a major army could come into America and sign defeat. But as we've learned, other things can bring us to our knees as well. So God is working, and he wants you to know, I want you to know, he's working. I have learned in my years of walking with him. And I've learned this because with me, because of the way he has led me, he has taught me nothing happens by accident. Anything and everything that happens, he knows. Now, we tell ourselves, well, he's omniscient, he's omnipresent, he's omnipotent. Of course he knows. But to know in our mind that he knows, and to know experientially and in our hearts that he knows, is two different things. So nothing happens by accident. And the things that have been going on with America, none of it is by accident. People are making decisions that are affecting the lives of many other people, in some cases around the world. But none of this is too big for God. None of it is too big for him to handle. It's not taking him by surprise. He already has the end of the road in sight before it ever starts. And that is exceedingly comforting, that no matter what happens, any place in this earth, no one is like sneaking around the building trying to get away with something so that God doesn't see, doesn't know. He knows it all. He knows every hair that we have on our head. He knows our names before we are born. And he knows everything that's going to occur in the nations of the world. But knowing this and having a plan in regards to these things might feel a little different. In this case, he both knows and he has a plan. Last night he spoke to me quite strongly, quite beautifully, actually. I have wondered from time to time why he doesn't speak to me more during the day, why he has this need to awaken me in the middle of the night and talk to me so that I don't sleep all night. But that's what he does, and he did that again last night. So I'll just tell you what happened, and then I'll tell you what it means. I was praying about what's going on with Mr. Floyd in this whole situation, all of the protesting, the rioting, the looting. Now, back when Mr. Floyd was first put into that vulnerable situation and lost his life through it, the Lord spoke to me very clearly. Begin to pray that protests will rise up throughout this nation. Now, I told my leadership team what he told me to do, and I assured them that I had done that. The second thing he told me was pray that it will be without violence. So the first prayer, the protests are occurring, and I want you to know he's behind that. He's provoking it. Now, there are some people provoking it as well, and their motives aren't quite as pure as the Lord's. But the Lord made a place for that to happen. Violence, the looting, all the murder, all the things that have transpired in the midst of all of that is not of God. That's not what He laid forth. Those things are happening because too many unrighteous motives are involved. People are getting too excited, too impassioned. It's, you know, becoming like a mob rule. But even though He didn't call for that, it didn't take Him by surprise. And He has something He wants to accomplish, even in that. And that is comforting to those who love Him. To know that nothing is going beyond His notice and that He has a plan and a purpose for everything He allows or calls into being is extremely comforting. And if you've got an inquisitive mind like mine, then you just can hardly bear not knowing why He does what He does. And so He, last night, some of you might remember, the last time I shared with you that the Lord, I won't go through the whole experience because it would take too long, but toward the end of the experience, I was taken up into the heavens by our Lord Jesus Christ and was shown that He was at that moment beginning to release a beautiful, beautiful essence from the heavens to the earth. And in this essence, there was raining down mantles of the Melchizedek priesthood. There weren't a lot, but these people are so highly anointed, so highly prepared with such a high state of authority and so on, that there doesn't need to be a lot of these priests. But I saw these mantles coming down from heaven. And they would be sitting upon the shoulders of those who had been created and ordained to be part of the Melchizedek priesthood. And then He told me that this that He was sending to earth was the Melchizedek Reformation. So I believe in my heart that we are at the most minute opening or awakening of that move of God. Later on this month, we're going to have a time of teaching. I think the dates are... What are the dates, Ricky?
Sorry, I was muted. The 16th through the 19th. So it's going to be Tuesday through Friday of that week. So 16th through the 19th. Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to be teaching on Melchizedek and what God is going to do through that priesthood in this hour. But for tonight, it's important to know that God as I was meditating on that, meditating on what I'd seen, meditating on what I had experienced, he spoke to me and he said, Hegelian dialectic. Well, when I heard those words, I was familiar with them. If you're a college student, you probably have heard the words, heard the meaning, thesis, antithesis, and synthesis. But the words I'm going to use tonight is going to be problem, crisis, resolve, which concerning this dialectic means the same thing. When the Lord spoke those words to me, he let me know that there were those who had determined that they were going to create this agenda in the earth through what had happened with Mr. Floyd. They largely funded the men and women to come together and do protests. And a lot of these people that would come would also be there to loot, to riot, and just whatever else came up. Because what he wanted to do was to send America into such a state of chaos and confusion that we didn't know our right hand from our left. You know, when your heart is lifted up in pride, you tend to underestimate other people. And that's what keeps happening. I'm not saying that Trump is perfect. I'm not saying that he always makes the right decision. He is still human. But I do know that he makes the right decision far more often than he makes the wrong decision. And when these people came together and decided that they were going to sponsor all these protests and all of these people creating anarchy, creating chaos, they forgot. I mean, they really thought that this would tip President Trump over, that he would be so unnerved by what was transpiring that he would lose his way. They have not yet learned that he seems to be at least one step ahead of them, if not more. And he always maintains a position of strength, partially because of God in him, and partially because he has a very strong team around him, encouraging him, seeking to protect him, and so on. So all things considered, these people that decided that they wanted to create this chaos before the election thought that they could trip President Trump up and show what a weakling he is. But I don't know if you've noticed this, but I have noticed that he has not in any way come across as a weakling. He's still coming across as that great lion who knows what he's doing and why he's doing it. Yet he and Bill Barr are acting very sensitively, really reflecting care and an intuitive sense of responsibility to help the black community get through this. without feeling isolated or as though the system has failed them or the nation at large. Now, I'm not in that circle. My skin, as you know, is not black. So I don't know what they think or how they feel. I know they're being very vocal, and it doesn't seem by what they're saying that they are angry with America at large, just mostly angry with the situation, which I understand. But I think he's doing a good job. I think he's trying to do a good job, maybe even a great job, to get us through this so that as few people as possible are going to ultimately end up being hurt by it. Personally, I feel, and I think you probably feel this way as well, it's always hard to see someone die, let alone in real life. It's so difficult. And to see that big hunk of a man just submit and lay down and give up his life like that was so hard to watch. I just cried. But God has not left that family. He hasn't left America. And I think the whole world is watching to see what we'll do. So man has this plan. They're working through their plan. They have a plan. And they are now in the stage of chaos that began under the, what I call the C-19 and continues still. Under the C-19, I think America really did a fantastic job to just do what they were asked to do and to walk things out, hoping for the best. As Christians, we know that the worst is not going to happen because God is in control, and He really is in control. He knew what they were going to do. I had a dream or a vision, I can't remember now, about two viruses, one that had already been released and another that would follow. When that is planned by them to happen, I don't know. But we need to be in prayer about that, that they're not able to accomplish what they want to accomplish, even then. God's heart is for this country. He's for the people of this country. I don't care what prophet comes in to what pulpit in this nation. We have spent, as a team, 20 years praying over this nation. Not because I wanted to do it, but because the Lord visited me and asked me to start a movement of intercession for America. He told me what to call it, and that's what we call it. He showed me how to run it, and that's what we do. And looking back, I've found that for those of you who may never have been to a gathering over the last 20 years, I have found that He has taken us line upon line, precept upon precept, up the ladder of America's greatest sins. When I look back in my book, Prepare for the Winds of Change, I saw that most of those sins were listed in that book because an angel had visited me and talked to me about it. There were some sins that were not listed, but things we had to pray over anyway. As I look back, I know I'm getting there, you know, the long way around, but I want you to understand my perception of what God is saying and why I perceive what I perceive. Every time we change gears in the gathering and prayed over another issue, it's because he told me that's what he wanted. We got to a point where we began to pray over every issue and every gathering. The one issue we prayed over the most was America's treatment of the African American. And the reason he needed us to do that is because our cup ran over. We either repented or we were going to face severe judgment. Now we have prophets coming in, prophets who live here in the nation, prophets and prophetesses who seem to have a fetish of needing to speak that America is under the most severe judgment, even destruction, and that God is through with America, and so on and so forth. I'm sure you've heard them. But God is not finished with America. The judgments that we were under, he has either removed or brought down so substantially that the things that I myself saw had been pushed way back because of the repentance that has gone on. Now, if the things that have happened in the last couple of years in respect to the African American community had happened before the years of repentance, we would have been in a terrible civil war by now. I saw it. I know that it was coming. I talk about it in several of my books. But because we have repented and because things really are changing in this nation, that judgment has been set aside, at least for the time being. So I'm very thankful for that. So here the Lord is in this Hegelian dialectic. Man has provoked their own, but God has his. He has revealed several of the problems through the C-19. And through what is happening right now, he has revealed to us that there are issues yet unresolved that we need to resolve with the police department in our local areas and with retraining Americans on how to live together. We moved into the crises, the C-19 crises, and now the crises that has come about due to Mr. Floyd's death.
He has us right in the middle of the crises so that we can see with our own eyes the races. And I'm not just talking about American Caucasians or the African Americans, but there are races in this nation that feel left out, that feel uncared for, unheard. They feel that though they live here as Americans, that maybe they're secondhand American and not as important as the Caucasian race. And it's something that's going to have to be dealt with. God needs us to deal with it for the sake of our fellow man. Every life is of value, and I think probably most of you on this phone would quickly agree with that. Every life is of value. Even if the life that we're discussing was a life distracted by many problems, every life has value. This is a testing ground and a training ground for our future. Now, I know America is never going to be perfect because this isn't heaven. But the kingdom of God is here. And he wants to exert his influence upon this nation. He wants us to look squarely at the crises, deal with the fact that there are flaws, and as Christians, he wants us to start praying over the flaws, that he and that man will come along and fix those flaws to make, for instance, the police force a more perfect, united front for righteous dealing. When we see that they're using a method that has already proven that it's not working, that we step up as citizens and say we can't agree with this. There's been needless death because of it. And we really have to insist that it desist. But also, I don't know about you, but I think it would be a really great idea for us to start praying that God will lift up a ministry who will raise up intercessors in every major city in this country to do nothing but pray for the police force. And I think that if we can do that, we will see marvelous changes take place. Policemen getting saved, less people dying unnecessarily on both sides, and even newer, inventive ways of dealing with living under the rule of law. God wants us to be creative at this time. We're in a time of crises, but that doesn't mean the end is near. We can't look at, I can feel the weeping of the Holy Spirit. God really wants you to know the end is not near. America has been through crises like this before. There's been advancement behind every incident, and there's going to be advancement behind this incident. God's not angry with America. He understands what's going on, but he wants to help us overcome it. He wants to give us a happier end when this is all over. a more productive end when this is all over. I sensed last night that there are going to be some new laws that are going to be voted in, and we need to pray over that so that righteousness will prevail without enslaving anyone in America. That can be done, and we need to pray to make sure it's done. So God wants to bring us through to synthesis. He wants to bring us through to resolve. But he wants to bring us through to a more perfect resolve. He wants to help us come into this place where the beauty for ashes, let me just use a biblical term, beauty for ashes. He says in his word, behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. And that's where we are. The old is passing away, and the new is right here. It's right here before us. There are areas in our nation that have caused us to, like, limp along, not being the best we could be. And the Lord has revealed to us things that reveal these things we limp over so that we can be victorious over all these things. Now, to know what they've done with the last C-19, we should be praying. What can we do should they bring this back upon us in a new way? What should we do? What should this nation do? How should we pray that you will help our president bring forth something that is, a better response than perhaps the last one. Then in this situation with Floyd, we want to start praying immediately that God will bring the beauty for the ashes, that he will help us to rise above this thing and walk it through in victory in his name. Because he loves America. He loves the people of America. He wants to bless America. I don't care what they say. I'm telling you from the prophetic viewpoint. I'm telling you from as one who has stood before our Maker, and this is what he said. He wants to bless America. He wants to bring us through these hardships into something greater than we've ever known before. And it will happen first and foremost because he's going to be right here working it through with us. The coming of the Melchizedek priesthood is going to add a dynamic to the world such as we've never known. But even putting the priesthood aside for a moment, God is here in the spirit of reformation, and he's working. He has been working for years, but he's working to reform the weakness in American civility to help us overcome and to fulfill the plans and purposes that he has for this nation. This is not the end. It, Ricky said earlier this year that the Lord told her he was shaking. And I remember saying last year that a shaking was coming. I saw it in a vision. And we've seen so many spiritual experiences that help us understand that we would be going through these pressures. One of the experiences I had, I saw the flag going through one of those old-time washing machines that had, what did they call those wringer washers? And boy, that flag really got pressed. But it was so radiant when it came out of that pressing. I don't even know how to tell you how beautiful it was. So this isn't an end. It's not even an end in itself. It's not an end. It's just part of the process. We're in the Hegelian dialectic. The problem, the crises, and the resolve. And the resolve is going to be utterly glorious at every level. Whatever happens with the financial system, it's not going to be long-lived. It's going to be short-lived. Because God has many things for us to do, and we don't have a long, long time to do those things. So he needs the clock ticking in the right direction second by second so that he can get everything done that he wants to do. So that people who live in America and have worked together with him to bring about kingdom purposes will be able to see everything they're called to do accomplished. Praise God. Praise God. We need to pray that God is going to bring these sorrows, men, these liberals that want to invest so much money, time, effort to destroy this nation, that God will stop them. That he will cause their activities to desist. If he has to take their money away from them, that he'll do it. If he has to put them behind bars, that he'll do it. Whatever it's going to take the corruption out of here. He told me just recently in a word that he gave me that is the hour that the wicked must pay for their behavior. The wicked must pay for their behavior. He has been long-suffering. He has been patient. He has been merciful as he has waited for them to repent. But they haven't repented. So now it's time to pay the monkey. That's the terminology I heard when I was a kid. It's just time. It's time for them to look at what they've done, look at the life that they've lived, what they've done to a nation that has done nothing but bless them, and, you know, learn the lesson. You don't fight the hand that feeds you. We're in the moment of crisis. I don't know how much longer we're going to be here. We may find this crisis and that crisis take place between now and, say, fall. Maybe the end of the year. But things that are left over from past crises will begin to be fixed. So it's like a cyclical, you know, a wheel rolling, like a Ferris wheel rolling. And as one seat goes down, the next seat comes up. And that's what it's going to be like. We're we're fixing this crisis, and something from the last crisis is now fixed, so it's coming back to the top. So it would be like that, so that we're not being buried in all of these crises all at once. So that's how you need to pray, that God will give you wisdom to walk it through, that he'll tell you where to put your finances, that he will tell you how to pray, how to speak to your children. You are free to speak to them words of peace, words of comfort, words of faith, words of hope, and walk that out before them, because I'm telling you, he will never leave you nor forsake you. He will not. He will not ever leave you nor forsake you. Just keep your eyes looking to him, and he will show you the way for your own individual needs. Some people might say, yeah, but I lost my job 2 months ago, and I still don't have a job. God will make it up to you. He will. It may be that you're in a very pinched time right now, but he will bless you. Blessings are coming. Even financial blessings are coming to the church. And sometimes those blessings, when they touch the church, they're not coming through the church. There have been many times in the past when unbelievers have been moved on by God to bless Christians. So we don't know where it's going to come from, but it's going to come. We just keep doing what we know to do, keep asking him to reveal to us what we don't know to do, and then do it. And do it with a heart of faith.
Back over to that chair.
Pardon me? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. So we're going to soon be moving out of crisis into resolve. And you can be at peace with that. You can be praying for it and be at peace with it. And keep praying for healing of this nation, because that's, believe it or not, what God is doing right now.